Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy Thursday, everybody. Sean Cantwell, Adam Harahawk, your local alternative is Solid State Radio. And a lot of things to do today. Of course, there is March Madness going on. Yes, YS officially started earlier in the week, but no one cares about the first.
Is that still going on? Is that still a thing?
Yes,
all the Michigan teams are out that I care about, so I didn't notice.
Hey, Michigan State won today. Thank you very much.
Oh, they're still.
And they won by like 18.
I didn't know they were in it. I honestly didn't know they were still in it.
I think a lot of people are surprised that they're still in it, or that they made it there in the first place.
Even them, even the team was like, "We're going where?" Oh, okay.
No, apparently yes. Michigan State made it in. It's looking like when is Oakland supposed to play? I believe they play tonight.
Go Grizzlies!
Yeah, the Golden Grizzlies made it in. Michigan's sitting at home, and that's probably why Adam wasn't paying attention to it. But
well, I mean, are you surprised? I mean, you only got like 8 wins on the season, so yeah, that's not going to get you any invitations.
Yeah, no, Juwan Howard already got sacked like I think a week ago, to the shock of absolutely nobody.
Shocked that it didn't happen sooner.
Yeah, I figured it would happen after he got in the fight with the other coach or whatever, like a couple years back.
And smacking his players and cussing them out. I mean, there's nobody keeps a job in this era with things like that.
Yeah, that sort of thing does not go unpunished anymore. And certainly not with the frequency that it might once have.
I mean, there's some coaches who actually are winning games who can't get away with that. What did he think was going to happen?
That's kind of my thought, too. Like, you can get away with to some extent with some of that if you're regularly contending for titles and things of that nature.
Bobby Knight got away with a lot of stuff.
He sure did. But you can't do that long-term if you're not delivering the results on the court.
Correct.
That's just not how that works. And, well, you kind of found yourself a bit screwed over there.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
So Michigan State played today and didn't suck. Oakland plays tonight, and they're probably going to get blown out by Kentucky, I imagine.
Ooh, that's they drew a big dance partner.
Yep, one of those teams that's usually a very formidable challenger in the...
They're usually picked to go to the Elite Eight every year.
Most of you are certainly, yeah. So, well, it was nice while it lasted, guys. Hope you enjoyed it, because that's about all you're getting of that. So that's going on. We got a couple other things we're going to have to touch on. Of course, the Wings play tonight, so we'll get into that here in a little bit. And a story that's it's a baseball story that has nothing to do with the Tigers, but I find it far too fascinating to not bring it up. So all that coming up, it is Happy Hour at Solid State Radio. Solid State weather for the rest of the afternoon. You're looking at cloudy skies today, high getting up to around 34. Tonight, partly cloudy in the evening, some snow showers after midnight with a low of 23. I don't know what the hell's going on tomorrow. This time yesterday, we were telling you it was going to be 3 to 5 inches of snow. Now we're looking at maybe 1 to 3. No one seems to know for sure what's going to happen, other than there's going to be some accumulation of snow tomorrow with a high of 32 and a low of 23. Then for Saturday, cloudy skies early, partly cloudy in the afternoon with a high of 33 and a low of 17. Right now, 34 in Flint, 33 in the Tri-Cities, 34 in lovely downtown Lapeer under mostly cloudy skies with Fallout Boy at Solid State Radio. Luscious Jackson at your local alternative Solid State Radio. What's going on? It is happy hour. And
I saw Luscious Jackson live.
Did you really?
Yeah, they opened up for REM.
Oh, I'll be damned. Mm-hmm. They're not still a thing, I don't assume.
No. I think they're long gone.
Kind of figured as much. Well, want to talk some hockey?
If we must. Actually, yes, I do. Wings beat the Columbus Blue Jackets 2 days ago, looking good. Third period looked good.
Yeah, the first period was the worst hockey I've seen all year.
It has been bad. It has been really bad. They won last Saturday against Buffalo. We've talked about that, but then they end up laying an egg against... Who did they lay an egg against?
Every team that they've played other than Columbus.
Oh, it was against the Pens. Lost 6-3. End up winning in overtime against Columbus, a team they should have beat. But, I mean, they should have beat Arizona, which they failed to do. Lucas Raymond with 2 goals. Patrick Kane with just another great overtime winner. Now they take on the Islanders. They're going to be in Detroit taking on the Isles. A lot of wild card implications.
It still
on this
sounds
one.
Like Dylan Larkin may be back tonight.
No, he is ruled
officially
out.
Confirmed?
He is ruled out.
Damn.
He's ruled out for today and possibly Saturday. I don't. Something's lingering.
Oh boy.
So I'm just hoping that fantastic third period they had against Columbus will bolster the team, get them fired up to it. Oh, you mean we can win without Dylan Larkin? Did anybody else know this?
No, I did not.
Everybody else in the locker room is like, I didn't know that was possible. Right now, Detroit is sitting at 76 points in that second wild card spot. Washington all of a sudden creeping up. Another thing I'll note about Washington is the Great Eight is only 50 goals away from beating Gretzky's record. He can do it.
Only 50?
Only 50.
That can't be right. Unless he just turned it on like something crazy in the last couple of weeks. I didn't think he was that close.
He has. But I mean that's what they're saying. I mean, I'll have to look and see if the numbers are matching up. But you know, I saw the picture on Facebook, and Facebook is never wrong.
No, of course, Facebook's never been wrong.
Islanders are at 73 points. Buffalo has been nipping at the heels a little bit, so they are dangerous. I don't see Detroit catching up with Tampa, so I think it's going to be the second wild card spot or bust.
It would look that way.
Washington, they take on the bunch of jerks tomorrow. So hopefully, maybe Carolina can do our dirty work.
I don't need something to go
keep Washington
right
at bay. Detroit and Washington, they're meeting April 6th, ? So we'll have to see what happens there. That's going to be April 9th, excuse me. They're going to be in Detroit, so that's going to be a lot of fun.
That it is. And, well, went and looked it up. So Ovechkin's now at 845 goals for his career.
Uh-huh.
And Gretzky's at 894. Wow, he is that close. I for some reason, I thought he had further to go than that, especially because this season he has not performed up to his normal standard.
He's you're right, but he's started to turn it on within the last two or three weeks.
Okay, that makes more sense then. And yep. For one, I hope he does it, but I think you could see it happen possibly as soon as next season.
It's very possible.
He's traditionally had no problem putting up 50 in a season, and this year ain't done yet.
No, I mean, he could easily put up another 8 to 10 goals this season, which would only put him at 40 more goals needed. He could very possibly do it next season. We could see it in our lifetime.
Wouldn't that be something, man?
Yeah. I mean, I'm telling myself, I like Gretzky. I really do. I think he's still a great ambassador for the sport. I think in the long term, I don't think Ovechkin is going to be as much of an ambassador for the NHL as...
You're just saying that because he's Russian.
Yeah. I need to slow down a little bit. He's just Russian. But Gretzky, I mean, he still has the most points. With all the assists that he was able to do, there's nobody.
Well, no one's ever
going to
top that record.
Nope. So that is all number 99. Absolutely. But we'll see it. I'd like to see it as it happens on TV.
Wouldn't that be? I would love to be at that game. I know I'm not going to get that chance, but man, that'd be something.
Yeah. You know, Gretzky's going to be there.
Of course.
He's going to be like one goal away from beating him, and you know, he won't. He won't. He'll be snake bit.
Right.
He'll be jinxed. Won't score another goal for the rest of his career. He'll just be completely tied with Gretzky for the rest of his life.
Right. You just hate to see that. So no Larkin till possibly beyond Saturday, huh? That's a bit of a killer, man.
Yeah, I'm not happy about that. But you also don't want to rush him, because if the Wings are in a playoff spot, you're going to want him at 100%.
Yeah.
The team has got to know that they have permission to play well without Larkin. I mean, they brought Austin Chernak back, and I don't know why. I'm not this guy.
You're not a big Austin Czarnik fan?
Czarnik, Chernak, C. Czarnik. whatever. No, I've not really seen what Yzerman and Lalonde see in him yet.
I can't say I have either, man. I'm a bit lost on that too, but well.
Jonathan Berger, and he was in the lineup last game, was he not? I can't remember if he okay. So I don't know if he's slated to come also be in there. Simon Edvinson didn't look too bad.
He did not. I was rather impressed.
Now, I did see Simon Edvinson for the first time without his helmet. Maybe just the first time I noticed it, but I looked at Simon Edvinson with that big old jawline, and I'm thinking if you put some bolts on the side of his neck, the villagers will chase him back to the castle.
We don't need that right now.
Fire bad.
Or put Simon Edvinson on the apology list.
And Frankenstein. Frankenstein's monster, yes.
That too.
You know, it was Frankenstein was the doctor.
Yes.
Frankenstein's monster.
Yeah. Here's the Strots at your local alternative solid state radio. The Offspring at your local alternative solid state radio. And there's been kind of some rather interesting stuff going on in Major League Baseball the last couple days. Like a kind of a big story that I think will end up going on to be one of the big conspiracy theories of our time.
Oh,
in this sport.
There's so many conspiracies out there.
And when it comes to sports, like there's a lot of these I'm inclined to believe, like the NBA pressuring Michael Jordan to temporarily retire because of his
gambling debts
and all that. Yep. Like that I entirely believe. A lot of the stuff, like the games being fixed and things, like I don't necessarily I'm not normally a conspiracy theorist by trade, but there's some of the stuff I absolutely do believe. And the latest one comes out of Los Angeles as Shohei Ohtani's interpreter has been fired because he is supposedly stealing money from Ohtani and using it to pay off gambling debts.
Or there was
at least $4.5 million in wire transfers sent from Ohtani's bank account to a bookmaking operation.
Wow.
Ipe Mizuhara, the longtime friend and interpreter for Ohtani, incurred the debts to a Southern California bookmaking operation that is under federal investigation. Initially, a spokesman for Ohtani told ESPN the slugger transferred the funds to cover Mizuhara's gambling debt. The spokesman presented Mizuhara to ESPN for a 90-minute interview Tuesday night during which he laid out his account in great detail. However, as ESPN prepared to publish the story on Wednesday, the spokesman disavowed Mizuhara's account and said Ohtani's lawyers would issue a statement.
Okay.
I'm not so sure that I'm buying the majority of this. Like, I'll tell you right now what I think is happening here.
Okay. What's your theory?
Ohtani's going and using his buddy to place bets for him because obviously Shohei Ohtani can't just go on FanKings or DraftDuel or whatever and make bets on things
right.
Because, you know, he's an internationally known athlete and he could, and you know, we've heard stories about those organizations turning in names to people because that's how, among others, I believe how Jameson Williams ended up with his suspension last year.
I mean, it's a big thing.
Yeah, they're not wanting to have any sort of look of impropriety, so they turn in these guys if they're going under their own name. I think this guy was placing bets for Ohtani.
Probably could. I mean, that makes sense. Or even if Ohtani was doing it himself, Major League Baseball is like, listen, you need to find a sacrificial lamb, and you need one now.
Because it is interesting, too, is MLB saying they're not investigating this any further, which tells me that they know something shady's gone on here, and they need to find that scapegoat and launch that guy out of a cannon because you're talking about the biggest name not only in baseball in this country, but globally. Like, he's a global icon, basically.
Yeah.
And you can't afford to have that guy. It would be like Wayne Gretzky at the peak of his powers.
And he got investigated one time. I mean, not when he was playing, but yeah, point taken.
Oh, yeah, that was when he was involved with the Yotes, wasn't it?
Yeah. His wife got busted gambling. But, I mean, they're done with the investigation. How hard did they investigate Pete Rose? I mean, they got into everything he's ever done.
Yeah.
They had his second grade book report in their lap. And so there's like, oh, yeah, well, there's not much we can do. We're closing the case.
yeah, it just seems rather mysterious that we're just going to, you know what? No, we're not going to investigate this any further. You've done all you need to do. Someone's been fired. We're just going to look the other way going forward. Because back in Pete Rose's day, you had multiple other, you know, big name stars. And at this point in his career, he was just a manager anyway. Like, no one's going to feel that bad about tossing him to the curb at that point in his baseball career. Ohtani is the biggest name in baseball, period, full stop, and has been for the last half a decade or so. Like, they know damn well they can't afford to lose him, so they're covering his ass. That's what it comes down to. They're covering for him.
Listen, I mean, gambling can be a real big problem, but when you have gambling sites and every commercial, you have venues that are now being named after some and events named after these gambling sites. You're gonna just expect these guys not to tap into this. They're gonna have to find a way to allow it to happen. It's terrible because everybody's gonna be like, oh, the fix is in. Ohtani did this because he bet against his own team. But you know,
It's basically gonna ruin the. It's going to give such a sense of impropriety. It's going to basically ruin the integrity of the game if they were to allow that, though, and they know they can't.
Well, I mean, they've opened up that Pandora's box as it is, because now they're not stopping it. We're hearing athletes all the time going through the gambling thing. Did you hear the story that came out last week? Bruno Mars, his gambling debt?
He owes like $50 million casino he's been playing at.
He's been playing at a casino, making the money, taking that, and then gambling it. He owes them $50 million.
Supposedly, they deny that that's actually a thing, but the weird thing about that I thought was odd is that he's already in the Vegas residency portion of his career. He's still fairly young and still fairly like relevant as an artist. Like,
there's so much money involved in that.
There is, but usually the Vegas residency thing doesn't happen until you can't make money going out on tour anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Until you're not putting out hits anymore, you know?
Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of odd.
Yeah, that's true, because, I mean, that's when we started seeing Elvis doing a residency. We would see, Cher.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. But I guess touring takes it out of you. So probably he's just like, hey, if there's a situation, cause there's situations when you do a residency, you have like your penthouse apartment, couple steps out, you're on the stage. It's like, there's no traveling. There's nothing, no traveling, no double dribble, nothing.
Right.
You just get on stage, do what you do, and then done. You just made your money. And then problem is he had too much downtime. He's going to the high stakes table. And, I mean, there's some penthouses you can get a table right there in your room. Your own dealer and everything. Yes, it is.
I didn't know that was even a thing.
Yes, it is.
Wow.
Yeah, that's like, oh, yeah, it's right next to the the crack dealer that's in every penthouse.
Well, I assume you just have to bring that with you.
It's Vegas.
I mean,
you make anything happen.
Sure, but that's a guy you want to feel like that you can trust. Like, that's how you need to have a good relationship with, because you don't need him selling you some BS.
I mean, back to the sports portion of it, how bad is this going to have to get? Well, are we going to see what happens if Steve Yzerman gets busted at gambling? Or, you know, come to find out, you know, Bob Kraft is gambling.
Well, I mean, that dude already got away with, you know, a lot of other stuff.
Yeah.
So I don't think they're that worried about him at this point. But in this one specific case, like if it was anyone else other than Shohei Ohtani, they're probably getting banned for life and really fully investigated to the full extent of the law. But they know they can't do that with him because he's like the draw in baseball now. Yep. Like, he's it. That's all they got. Like, there is nothing else. So, like, he knows that he can't get away with that, really.
Yep. I mean, they're going to have to do something. But, I mean, because, I mean, there's too much money out there for sports gambling. There's FanDuel and MGM Grand. They have too much money invested. They're not going anywhere. You're not putting that toothpaste back in the tube.
Right. Like, it's not going away ever. Like, now that the leagues are firmly in bed with these organizations, it's never going to go anywhere.
Right. Right? It's kind of like, okay, we want you guys out there dealing drugs, but we don't want you doing any. Wait a minute, you're dealing? Ah, who saw that coming?
But, I mean, you still can't have the rank and file going out there and betting on the outcomes of games, especially in their sport. Like, you just, you can't have that. There's no way.
Well, you just got to get a translator who's really cool.
I mean, basically that. Like, there, just have someone that you can throw under the bus and hope that you're famous enough, basically, to be able to get away with that.
Yeah, yeah.
Hope that you're that essential to the future of your game, of your sport, that they can't have the sport without you, that they would rather look the other way and then have the sport with you not involved in it. That's basically what you got to do.
Right.
Here's Fanagram at Solid State Radio. Pearl Jam at your local alternative Solid State Radio. So much like certainly with us doing what we do for a living, I have long ago accepted the fact that I'm never going to be able to retire, that I'm basically going to have to do this until I literally drop dead behind a microphone.
Sure, yeah.
And that's a very real possibility. Apparently, this has to be the case for a lot of famous musicians and things as well. And I say this because, quite frankly, if there were any other option, I feel like a lot of these guys would not continue touring as long as they have.
Yeah.
For example, one John Cougar Mellencamp, who clearly hates touring, has hated touring for at least the last 25 years, yet continues to do it and bitches about it at every possible opportunity.
He has been a grouchy old man since he was in his 20s. He is a grouchy.
Him and Don Henley both, man. Like, I put them in that same category of, like, grumpy old guys who were, like, 20 going on 80.
Yep.
Like, these damn kids these days and every song they do.
Yeah. Mellencamp was playing. Where was he? He was in Ohio, I believe. Cut the show early.
Toledo, I think it was.
Yep. He was getting heckled. He was talking. He was basically doing storytellers. I think he was just by himself on a guitar. Anybody, he's telling stories about the songs and everything else.
Right.
And, you know, you got drunk people going, "Come on, just play. Come on, just play. Play Jack and Diane. Come on, just play something. Play." You know, getting heckled. He couldn't handle it and called them sea suckers.
Yeah.
And said, "All right, you guys, I'm going to cut about 10 songs out. Here you go." And play Jack and Diane and peaced out because I'm going home. I mean, the heckling has got to stop. I mean, it's you see it in stand-up comedy all the time. You see people just, they don't know how to act in public. Maybe it's because we were cooped up for so long because of COVID, but people have just forgot how to act in public to where, yeah, I mean, Mellencamp, he's got a short fuse to begin with. Then you got people like, "Come on, play Hurt So Good so we can get out of here."
And some of these people, like, you know, it's an odd thing in that, I mean, the heckler that shows are incredibly stupid. Like, that's already a dumb thing. Like, you know, you paid your ticket. You have the right to mouth off, I guess, whatever. But then there's people that just take it to an extreme with the heckling. Like, and apparently it must be pretty bad if you know, you could hear, like, one or two people seriously from however big a venue you're playing. But also at the same point in time, like, this is not the first time we've heard about John Cougar Mellencamp complaining about people at shows.
Yep. It's almost like he's looking for it now. I mean, there's people who have been able to deal with hecklers and just, you know, you don't want to give them too much energy because then they think that the show's all about them now too. But, I mean, you take it with some sort of grace, maybe a little bit of comedy. But no, Mellencamp's just like, all right. He instantly becomes like a ninth grade history teacher.
Yeah.
All right, you all have detention now because you can say thank you to these jackasses over here. Yeah. Anyway, I'm leaving. Here's Jack and Diane, and here's a little ditty about these two guys who won't shut up. Dumb kids make me want to get up and run.
But, yeah, it is kind of an ongoing thing. Like, it's at some point, why are you even still doing it? Like, are you just, like, in desperate need of the money?
Maybe. Because, I mean, yeah, there's some bands and some musicians who just keep touring. And, like, well, do they really like it? Or were they just, like, really bad with their money and they have to keep doing it? And I think John Mellencamp is probably he's probably, I don't know what his personal life is, but you never really hear of him getting, you know, divorced and married and having to pay this, pay that. But that kind of life is out there. So maybe he's got to pay child support and alimony and all that stuff, and he's racked up a bunch of bills, and I don't know. He's put out a lot of albums. He's had a lot of hits. You'd think he'd have a little bit of a nest egg to where he wouldn't tour if he didn't want to. And if he did want to, you shouldn't be a jerk about it. Because, yeah, he was getting heckled. But now he's taken out on the other couple thousand people there because a few people. That's when you just get security involved. Get those guys out of here. We're here to have a good time. And these guys are preventing that.
Yeah, I mean, just get to kick the hecklers out of there. Do whatever you got to do. Like, it does seem kind of... Okay, apparently he's gone through quite a few relationships and things in the last, you know, relatively recent. He's been married 3 times.
Has he really? Okay.
He has. And apparently then just in the last decade, he's dated like Meg Ryan, Christie Brinkley, Meg Ryan again, and some a skincare expert, because apparently that's a goddamn thing. I don't care who the hell you are. Like, literally, he's probably paying out a decent amount of money. I'm sure. Like, that's got to be the only explanation as to why you're even still doing this, because you clearly don't like this that much.
No. He's probably, you can just go ahead and sit in a cornfield for the rest of your life if you want. No, I got to go out there. I spent too much money.
That would at least explain it. I could understand that.
And he's probably trying to play some, you know, deep cuts stuff, because if he has to play, you know,
Jack and Diane one more time.
If he's going to have to play Scarecrow one more time, he's probably going to have to, you know, cut his wrists. But, I mean, that's the world they live in. I mean, it's a curse getting a hit. I personally would love to feel that curse, but, you know, here we are.
Yeah. It's great. He actually apparently, like, there is, because, of course, he posted the TikTok video of it, like, find this guy and let me see him after the show.
Yeah. He's this big bodybuilder, just beats the hell out of Chuck Cougar Mellencamp.
And then, yeah, plays Jack and Diane, then stops abrupt. Know what? Show's over.
He said he eliminated like 10 songs, so what, he played like 6?
He ended up, apparently, and this is the part that hasn't really been reported, I guess. Uh-huh. He returned to the stage like 5 minutes later and ended up playing like a good half dozen more songs.
Did he?
Bunch of actual hits, too.
The promoter's like, you know how much we're paying you?
Right, like... You're getting a lot of money to be here right now. Like, like if we have to give that back, it's coming out of your ass.
Yep.
Yeah,
you got a contract, buddy.
Yeah, but this isn't the first time in even the last year. So last May, in Cleveland, he was bitching, and audience members shouted him to play the effing music after he reportedly criticized the United States. Listen, hey, you guys, if these people don't shut the F up, I'm just going to leave, okay? Because I'm not used to this crap. I wanted to play in this type of drunken environment. I play outside or I play in an arena.
That is a big problem, is that if you're an entertainer talking about politics, the left side, you get told, hey, just shut up and play the music. Play your guitar. You see that all the time on Facebook. Musicians, we had a situation, a band I still love, Brother Kane, their lead guitar player, old lead guitar player, posted something about Trump. And he got a lot of, why don't you just stick to music, stick to the guitar, and, you know, don't tell us about politics. I'm like, and I got to thinking about that. We don't do that to anybody else. We don't say, hey, why don't you stick to plumbing and stop talking about politics?
Well, apparently, people do that to athletes and things all the time.
Like, yeah. You
know, just shut up and play ball. Like, it's always athletes in... Athletes, actors, musicians.
Yeah,
every time.
Like, so these people aren't entitled to their opinion. They're voters too.
Meanwhile, like any moron off the street, you know, we give them a platform to, it seems like, to talk politics to their heart's content. Like these famous people aren't allowed to, but yet, by comparison, literally every radio talk show host ever, how are any of them qualified? Like, what makes Sean Hannity, for example, qualified to talk politics? What makes, with the exception of, like, a handful of these people who actually did work in politics in some capacity,
yeah,
none of them have, like, any sort of special insight or anything that makes their opinion worth any more than anybody else's.
Right. Right. And I tell people, like,
which is funny considering that we work in talk radio, and here we go telling you that our talk radio people's opinions don't matter.
Yeah, well, we don't. We kind of tiptoe away from politics for this very reason. We don't want you badmouth the right side, and it just becomes a real problem. And I tell people, like, somebody was blabbermouth.net had asked Paul Stanley about something going on, and Paul Stanley formerly of Kiss.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that works.
So, and he said, you know, gave his opinion, and everybody's like, well, you just need to stick to guitar. And I was like, I'm thinking, here's a guy who is speaking about the world that he has seen. He has traveled the world multiple times. He has seen different kinds of lifestyles multiple times to where he is educated on some of these topics. Meanwhile, you got somebody saying, Why don't you stick to music? These people haven't left their home state unless it's to go to a theme park. Trying to tell him that he shouldn't have an opinion.
It's always interesting that it's certain people that seem to like think that, oh, you're not allowed to have an opinion on anything unless it happens to line up with my personal opinion.
Yeah, those people probably don't say anything to Ted Nugent. He's a patriot.
He's a great American because he agrees with me on everything.
Kid Rock, he is a patriot.
Yeah, it seems like it's always those.
I mean, I'm sure there's probably some leftists going, why don't you just sing Ba Wada Ba and shut up?
At this point, I feel like most leftists probably have better taste in music.
They're probably saying, telling that to Ted Nugent, play Ba Wada Ba and shut up.
I mean, look, I'll admit to liking a lot of Ted Nugent stuff. I will maintain that Stranglehold should be our state anthem, quite frankly. But
yeah, he's put out some great music, and there's a lot of stuff. At least
he was always smart enough to keep the politics out of the music. In his case, like,
I mean, in the concert, yeah.
In the concerts, no. Like, I used to go and see him fairly regularly at Pine Knob, and it got pretty unbearable with the politics by the end, but, like, it never like made its way to the music, whereas Kid Rock stuff is all that now, apparently.
Yeah, it's a
or at least a good chunk when he's not pretending to be like a actual singer or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I you can't say, hey, Kid, why don't you just play Cat Scratch Fever and shut up? Because he would play Cat Scratch Fever, the music, and then like rap over it or something like
and
that.
And it would just be terrible, and no one wants this. No one wants any of this. It's Happy Hour at Solid State Radio. Gorillas at your local alternative, Solid State Radio. What's going on? It is Happy Hour. Ready to judge some people?
Let's do it.
We'll do a little bit of Am I the A-Hole today, because we haven't had the chance to do it this week, and I'm about done with sports and things of that nature for the day. So, am I the A-Hole for putting my wife on a strict allowance and making her ask me permission to buy expensive things?
Here we go. In this corner, women.
Oh, yeah, the studio's getting burned down for this, I'm sure.
Oh, totally.
When we married, we decided to not fully combine our finances. We have a shared account in which I fund 3/4 and she funds 1/4. We use this account to pay the mortgage, utilities, groceries, etc. We also have our separate accounts where we deposit the rest of our money. We're responsible for our own investments in cars. Things worked well for a couple of years until recently she came to me crying. Turns out, my wife is not good with her money, and she owes $150,000 spread over several credit cards in her car loan. Unless she wins the lottery, there's no way she's going to be able to pay off the debt. I didn't want her to mess up her credit by declaring bankruptcy. I decided to loan her the money to pay off the debt on strict conditions. I will take over her finances, including receiving her income. She'll be placed on a strict allowance and budget. She'll have to ask permission to buy anything over $50, and will have to go by my judgment. Once she pays me back the money, she can take control of her own finances. She argued against the conditions until I pointed out that I don't have $150,000 in cash stuffed in the couch. I'll have to sell some assets, including stocks that are currently performing well. If I loan her the money, it will cost me money. She finally agreed. This weekend, we were at a dinner party where, after too many drinks, some of the women decided they wanted to take a girls' trip a few weekends from now. My wife turned to ask me if she could go, and I answered, no, it's not in the budget. I'll spare you the details of the argument that erupted, but the too-long-didn't-read version is that I'm a misogynist pig who keeps her on a leash. Some argued I should have bailed her out without conditions because there should be none in a marriage. The hurtful part is she didn't once defend me. So, was I wrong to put those conditions on her?
No, but I really do not. Oh, man, I feel sorry for you, son. You got an issue. Because, I mean, everything's 50-50 in a marriage. It doesn't matter whose name is on the credit card. That her debt is your debt.
Right.
I mean, that's just the way it is. So if she came to you saying, I was irresponsible, I need your help, you're giving her help in a way that I don't think is irrational. I mean, I wouldn't have said, oh, well, you know, let's take a look at things, and then privately saying, no, come on, reasoning with her instead of calling her out in front of her friends. That was not a good idea. As far as the whole thing, yeah, I mean, it sucks that everything has to be that way, but she has shown that, you know,
she's not responsible with her money.
Right. Right. And it sounds like he's doing okay. I mean, he has, you know, good performing stocks, and
right.
You know, he's bailing her out. And that, I mean, if he truly means once we get on an even keel, you know, these restrictions will be lifted. But, you know, I mean, she's got to understand that when she gets out of control with her, quote unquote, her money, it's also his money. If she goes into default on a loan or has a car repoed or something like that, that goes on his credit too.
Yeah, like now you're married, like that kind of, that's going to reflect badly on both your credit and your ability to do a lot of things in the future. Like, yep. That's not fair to him because you can't handle your money, that he's just got to basically suck it up and bail you out of this.
Yeah, what did she think was going to happen? Okay, honey, you know, that's okay. I'll pay the debts and you just... You don't have to worry about it. I got this. Well, it's not. He doesn't got this. I mean, $100,000 is a lot of money, regardless if you're doing well or not. So, I mean, the fact that this must have been going on for a long, long time, or she is that bad where she just spending like crazy. So, I mean, I think he's doing things right. It's just, I do not envy his situation at all, because it's going to be a lot of anything over $50. She has to ask for permission. That's anytime you use the word permission in a marriage, you're instantly not going to win an argument against somebody else listening. Because marriage is supposed to be 50-50, but that doesn't mean, yeah, I don't know. I'm afraid my wife is listening. So
see, now I can go ahead and do this bit because I'm the one who is broke and fiscally irresponsible.
Uh-huh.
Like, honestly, if she'd be well within her rights, absolutely, to tell me, like, no, like, you got yourself into this mess. If you're going to get out of, if I'm going to help you out of it, then we're going to be taking it kind of lean with stuff. Like, you're not going out to the bar every night now. Like, you know, there's going to be some conditions put in place, and she'd be entirely within her rights to do that, man.
I tell you what, my first marriage, she took care of all the bills, and that was awesome. I made the lion's share of the money, but she took care of the bills, everything was well. But then she wasn't telling me when things were getting kind of tight. And so we would still go out to the bar. We would still go out to dinner. We would still do this, and we'll still do that. And things started getting behind, and I didn't know about it.
Right.
I would have wanted her to tell me, hey, listen, maybe we stay at home a couple of nights. Let's not do this. Let's eat at home, blah, blah, blah. Let's do that. I would have appreciated that other than saying, yeah, we are about 3 days away from having the gas shut off.
Yeah, that would have been helpful information to have.
Especially like when she left, she's like, oh, here's all the bills and they're all due a couple months ago.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yep.
That's fun. Like, we've never had, like, we've come close on some things, but we've never had like our stuff actually, you know, to this point, actually be like late. Like, we've never been in danger of having our stuff shut off. But if I were to get into, you know, some kind of crazy debt like that, like, she'd probably, like, I know she'd probably would not be, she might not insist on quite this level of like having to ask her permission to do things. But
oh, if you came up to her with a six-figure debt, yeah, she would have.
No, yeah.
You'd be wearing a chastity belt, I guarantee you that. Just out of fun, just out of spite. Because, I mean, at some point, the writer's wife,
yeah,
racked up this big old debt. She either didn't know she was jacking up her husband's credit to, or his finances, or she didn't care.
Exactly.
So she was uneducated or uncaring in some capacity to where she needed to be kind of wrangled in. And it's not because he's a man and she's a woman. No, I would be saying the same thing if the writer was the woman and her husband was spending money like a sailor on payday.
Exactly. Like if the roles were reversed, which would, like I said, be a lot more likely in my situation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm still taking the side of, well, he who has the money makes the rules.
I mean,
and at the very least, he who is actually, you know, fiscally responsible with the money makes the rules.
Yeah. I mean, if it's to the point where somebody is irresponsible, they have to be wrangled in. Yeah, they're going to have to pay. They have to be making the rules. If the wife understood finances and understood the dangers of overspending and everything else, then he wouldn't have to put rules on it.
Exactly. Like, if you were like a responsible human being, like, this wouldn't be an issue. So, like, no, I don't really feel particularly sorry for you that now you... Oh, look, if it isn't the consequences of my actions.
I feel sorry for you, son. I got 99 problems, but...
Being a broke ass is totally one. Here's Blame My Youth. Your local alternative is Solid State Radio. Happy hours. We get set to get the hell out of Dodge and turn things over to an hour of local original music. Sessions is up next. I'll be back at it tomorrow afternoon at 3 for unsolicited advice and other nonsense. See you then.